This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. In the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, there are two distinct parts, or sections. The first is chapters 1 through 14. 14 is recapitulation, which is a summary of the preceding 13 chapters. Chapters 15 through 18 is considered the key to the scriptures, whereas the first part is considered science and health. And in the key to the scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy, in chapter 15, the first of that section that is called key to the scriptures, is entitled Genesis. Genesis means the beginning. The next chapter is 16, and that is titled the Apocalypse, or Revelation. 17 is the glossary. 18 is 465 healings experienced by 85 people, each one having just under 6 healings each that are enumerated within the text in which these verified healings have been published. Why did Mary Baker Eddy choose the last chapter to manifest the certified healings? One reason that could very well be the primary reason is that Christian Science is not geared for healing. Jesus wasn't geared for healing. He was geared for enlightening people to the power of truth. Healing was a byproduct. Any effort that is made to bring forth a healing is indirect. The healing comes as a byproduct. The direct purpose is improving the spiritual understanding of the individual and everyone whose thought touches upon the individual. Jesus, on more than one occasion, asked individuals to leave the room where he was going to be conversing with the patient to lift their thought for healing. He did not want the negative thought of mortality to have any presence where spirit was going to be in control. How about us? If we have a problem that we would like to overcome, is it going to be easier to do it if we're in the presence of a lot of thought that is in conflict with God? Or is it going to be easier if we're in a pure atmosphere? Mary Baker Eddy says we should not enter an atmosphere of error unless in an attempt to purify it. And that's got to be the lowest priority on our list. She didn't even want her close household to be involved in politics. She knew that it was evil from beginning to end. She knew the government was evil from beginning to end. She could not trust any single agency of the government to do anything, nor the court system. She utilized her staff for making delivery of her communications. She didn't trust the Postal Service. When she related one of her most important messages to the public at a very significant meeting in Chicago, she had it read to the world. She didn't give it to the Christian Science movement first. When she opened her home on a July 4th one year, when she was in Concord, New Hampshire, she looked out over the group, and there were an estimated 2,000 people there that had come from all over. No matter what kind of effort was required to get there, they all made it. They put forth the effort to get there. And when she saw them all, she could read their minds. Just like Jesus read the mind of the woman at the well, gave her the complete history of her background. Mary Baker Eddy told Laura Sargent, one of her most respected individuals living in the home with her, that she didn't see a single Christian Scientist among the 2,000 people that were there. Not a single one. Now, she was obviously speaking on a relative level. When one of her patients came to see her because he was having a healing problem with the healing, not overcoming it, she sensed that he was not loving his neighbor as himself. And she said, when you walk down the street, what do you do? What do you think about? What kind of a footprint are you leaving? Is really the question. Are we leaving a selfish, egotistical footprint? Or are we really reaching out with our heart to see who we can help, even momentarily, with a smile or with a spiritual thought? Do we seek out those that are in need and give them a proper thought that could be a nudge in the right direction? In fact, it better well be a nudge in the correct direction. We have 24 hours a day. How many are we using to sleep? So out of the hours that are left that we're not sleeping, how are we allocating it? Have we become a master of time management, goal management? How do we study? How many of the senses do we use when we study? We're given 5, and we're told in the textbook that the substance of every one of those senses, as well as our entire being, is what? Spirit. Spirit is our substance. Spirit is the only substance that exists. Everything that is real is of the substance of spirit. That means physical things are not real. They're only a symbol of what is real if they are a symbol of good. Suppose we reflect mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the 7 basic synonymous terms for God. On page 537, and this is in the chapter on Genesis, and it starts with Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19. In looking this up, I see that I quoted the wrong page number. It's 535 instead of 537. And the verse of Genesis that the text that I'm going to read is intended to explain states the following. This is Genesis 3:17 and 19, states the following. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of my wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, this is chapter 3, these verses. If we look at chapter 1, everything up through where it said, this is the end of the day, 6, and God's work was done, and the evening and the morning were the same day, that's a spiritual record of creation. Mary Baker Eddy explains that it's not really creation, it's revelation. And I thought about that for a moment, and it came to me why she said that. Because the Bible says truth is always true, and there's nothing true under the sun. So what is said as in the beginning really means in the only. The only existence that there is. That's it. What do we want to make of it? Shakespeare says there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we put forth an effort, and we have already filtered it to make sure that it's going to benefit a multiple of people, everything is going to be amplifying the value of God. We're going to give wonderful customer service if anyone is dissatisfied. Are we going to have the time isolated from error and evil thoughts? The good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And the best way to obtain power is to do good to everyone that is in our thought. All thought, speech, and action, all the time. Wentworth Winslow, one of the most brilliant practitioners, said, Our purpose on life is to make other people happy. We should not want to do anything if we're not going to strive to excel. Not compared to other people, but compared to perfection. We should never put our thinking in the slavery position of saying that we want to compare ourselves with someone else. When is the best time when we awaken to start planning our day? At the moment we awaken. And it should all be from a spiritual standpoint. Don't think about activities. Think about the spiritual qualities that you would like to express, focus on for the day. And the Bible says that the next day begins in the evening before. So basically, when we're finished with one day before we go to bed, it is now a new beginning. What kind of thoughts could we have to bring forth the best that we can do? What is the best that we can do? To reflect the power of God, to reflect the goodness of God, the perfection of God, reflect the mind, the intelligence of mind, and the purity of spirit, which is our only substance, and the spiritual senses, not material senses. Principle, following a structure and system that Mary Baker Eddy labored to make sure it provided the earnest seeker of truth everything they needed, but of course always leaving the door open for further exploration and development. What are we thinking when we first open our eyes? This is a really suspicious time where we have to keep our thought on track with vivid assurances that we're not just floating around, but we have a purpose. And we're going to utilize that purpose to do the maximum good that we can do every moment. The Apocalypse, which is chapter 16, or if you prefer calling it Revelation, it makes it clear that we have to put off the old man and put on the new. When we're thinking about the new day, that's an excellent opportunity to do exactly that. And as noted, the new day begins the night before. So when we drift off to sleep, or maybe we're like me, I knock out like a light. When we do that, however slow or rapid the change is of consciousness, are we giving serious thought as to how we can share, do unto others as we would like to have them do unto us? How we can be merciful, just, and pure? God can have these seven synonymous terms, and we could reflect every single one of them. But if we have no power, could it be effective? There is only one God. That means everyone is a manifestation of the same one and only Father, Mother, God. Not a single quality of any individual is isolated. We are all in the same family, the family of God. Every single quality of God is in the same family of all of the qualities of God. Think of a matrix that has seven rows and seven columns. Mind is the first column in the top left and the first row in the top left. The second is spirit. The third is soul. The fourth is principle. The fifth, sixth, and seventh are life, truth, and love. We cannot change the fact that everything about God is unique, but yet everything works with everything else. For example, anything to do with the mental is a quality of mind. Anything to do with substance is a quality of spirit. Intelligence, wisdom, and knowing are all mental. Substance is spirit, and it has unique qualities, but they're not the qualities of mind. If we think about the intelligence of understanding that spirit is the only real substance, that is using mind to observe what spirit is. We can't do it without intelligence. We can't do it without knowing. In order to reflect any quality of God, we have to do it in its purity, which is its substance, because the substance of everything is spirit, and spirit is flawless. The opposite of matter, which is opaque. Power is a quality of mind, so if we want to experience power with the way we identify, which is soul, then we have to use the power of mind to do it. In other words, like the intelligence of mind, the knowing of mind, the wisdom of mind, then we will identify properly. Mind is like the engine. And when it's applied to identity, soul, then we can see that the spiritual nature of identity can never be diluted because it operates with the power of mind. The same with the other qualities. Principle, life, truth, and love. They all need intelligence and wisdom and knowing. If we don't know what is true or false, then we're going to be in a state of puzzlement until such time as we get connected. How are we going to think about someone that we see that has a problem? As noted earlier, it was noted that one of Mary Baker Eddy's students visited her seeking guidance on how to solve a problem that he wasn't having any success with. She, like Jesus, was able to sense the qualities about him and what he was and was not expressing in his daily life. She didn't mess around. She just asked him straight out. When you go walking down the street, for whatever reason, you might be headed to a meeting, or you might be going out on an errand, or whatever it is. What do you do when you're walking along? He did not reply. He was trying to determine mentally, what is she trying to find out about me? He was silent for an extended period, so she said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" One way to address this is that no matter what circumstance we are in, our focus should be directed one way, and that is, how can we help someone else? Remember, our goal is to make other people happy. It does not matter what problem or deficiency, discord of any kind whatsoever that we observe, the approach is generic. We have to realize that there is no beginning or end of good or truth, or mind, or spirit, or soul, or principle, or life or love. The definition of God says incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Infinite. So the qualities of mind are infinite. The qualities of love are infinite. Love represents wholeness, completeness, fulfillment. But that only comes about if we have nurtured within our own consciousness the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. We can only make other people happy if we see them in their true spiritual nature. All of the faculties are a quality of mind. Shakespeare said, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." How are we seeing the qualities of someone else? How are we seeing their situation? Are we seeing them in slavery? Are we seeing them like Jesus did? And that is that they are in dominion. Genesis 1 says God gave man dominion over everything. Everything. That's because of mind being power. The only power, all power. If we don't take advantage of the power of mind, then we really can't accomplish anything. Mary Baker Eddy said, the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. Are we doing good? Are we thinking good? Is God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction? We can't think any kind of a problem, because that means that we're thinking that God is not effective, that God's laws are impotent instead of omnipotent. Everything about God is perfect. Everything. That means that everyone in God's family is perfect. That means everyone in all existence is perfect. Doesn't matter what the scuttlebutt is. That means the gossip. We care about the truth. We can be a Christian Scientist if we don't waste any moments, but we're always using the moments in a productive way to be glorifying God. And we can only glorify God if we recognize His power and that it is already manifested within everyone, within every event, every circumstance. It's right there operating. The operator is omnipresent, which is principle. The control, the engine is from mind. Mind can only do what is in consciousness. What do we permit in our consciousness? Do we separate a supposed evil activity from the individual that appears to be the one conducting the evil? What is the only conductor? There's only one. It's the one that is all-knowing. The one that is omniscient, which means omni-intelligent, omni-wisdom, and all-knowing. It's the one that is the only action. That again is God. We have all of the tools. Are we going to utilize them and see every single individual in their true perfection? Are we going to be lazy passive and walk around like we are in a daze? Are we going to walk with purpose? Are we going to move with purpose? The purpose of glorifying God? The purpose of reflecting God in the way we really should be reflecting God? In chapter 15, Mary Baker Eddy translates or provides a spiritual sense of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where it says, "And let us make man in our image and likeness." And verse 27 says, "And so God made man in his image and likeness." She indicates that the us is life, truth, and love. But another way we could look at it is thinking about Jesus asking a couple of different ones that he healed prior to healing them if they had faith. That indicates that the individual has to have the door open in their thought, in their consciousness, that maybe what they are seeing is not the truth. And they need to leave the door open to let the truth enter into their consciousness and therefore have an impact on their life. We could think about the us of life, truth, and love. Are we going to let life, truth, and love be established in us so that we can see that living the qualities of God, which is life, staying on track, which is truth, being sure our motive and consciousness are pure, flawless, and that we're going to nurture, which is love, that we're going to nurture all of the qualities so that we will be experiencing fulfillment, wholeness, and completeness. The one that visited Mary Baker Eddy apparently was leaving all of this out. And he was letting the moments slip by instead of utilizing them. Instead of doing what he should have been doing as a Christian Scientist, he apparently was not. He was leaving the moments slip by. Mary Baker Eddy reminds us that we are barraged with suggestions of evil all day long, because evil tries to mock truth. Of course, truth is the reality, but because evil is so deceitful, works with decoys, we need to make sure that we identify at the very earliest time that we're presented with something ungodlike and cast it out. The severity, complexity, supposed strength of any problem can be totally neutralized and the thought be totally reversed into the truth, which is positive, which is perfect, which is flawless. And that's what we should be doing all the time. All the time. Living the consciousness of God. Only entertaining thoughts of purity, thoughts of completeness, thoughts of perfection. That means we are reflecting the qualities of God. And we're reflecting the power of God. Because power is a part of mind. Mary Baker Eddy taught her class, the final one, in 1898. She offered them 7 special prayers. She titled every one of them Diapason of Heaven. And each one is designed to be oriented to one of the 7 synonymous terms. So if you look at all 7 of them, there's going to be one that's going to be focusing on mind, another one focusing on spirit, and so forth. I shall read the one that is oriented to spirit, because the title to this prayer treatment is Man Reflects the Power of Good, and reflection is spirit. After the prayer, I will share one other short thought with you. So if you'd like to hear it, stay tuned for another couple of minutes. Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy, with a focus on spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. The thought that came to me just before I started reciting the prayer was that Mary Baker Eddy stated that we are constantly barraged with mortal mind suggestions, because in essence they are not able to establish themselves, but their suggestions, and we have to give it a home in order for them to be real to us. One of the most aggressive suggestions is that of finding fault with others. Francis Fluno, who was one of the earlier lecturers and also in Mary Baker Eddy's class of 1898, the one that was her most advanced and final class, he wrote an article entitled Criticism. In it, he states that criticism opens oneself to all evil. All evil goes through that funnel, goes through that channel. She was attacked constantly by everyone, for whatever reason they may rationalize it. One of the most common ones was the difference between her level of spiritual understanding and their own. Jesus had that same problem with his disciples. So it's up to us to self-examine, to make sure we don't have a single element of criticism about anyone for any reason at any time. Because we cannot move forward in our progress, but we are stopped dead in our tracks when we entertain thoughts of criticism about anyone. We always must separate the evil act from what appears to be the evil doer. And we must work on destroying the evil act, not the individual. She did this self-examination every hour. Every hour, throughout the day. If we think about these Diapason of Heaven prayer treatments, they're very short, and we can adapt those very easily to protecting ourselves from evil. We have the power of God. All we have to do is do good activities, and we have the power of God with us. We don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right within consciousness. That's the final thought. It is Tuesday, July 28, 2026, and it's 18:28 in the early evening. Thank you for listening. The end.